interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. Where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's a story that may affect all of us in one way or another. Of course, there's a lot of controversy over the drones that are flying around, invading privacy, even killing people in some cases. But hey, nothing can bring a new positive spin to the drone scenario than this story about Domino's Pizza, because apparently they are spearheading, they are leading the way to delivering your pizza with a drone. This is absolutely serious. They've already begun the experimentation in the UK. They have a Domicopter, and this is an actual little helicopter that's remote controlled that will fly directly to your door via GPS programming, carrying a nice big steaming hot pizza. They say that right now there are no flying permits needed for a drone to fly up to 413 feet off the ground. Now, mind you, the Statue of Liberty is 305 feet tall. So this is, you know, 100 feet taller or 100 feet higher than the Statue of Liberty is tall. And so far, people love this idea. In fact, they say it's going to be automated. They can just punch in the GPS, hit a button. The drone flies up to your door. You open the door. You take the pizza. You swipe your credit card. It flies away. The only challenge they have right now is increasing the thrust power so it can also carry a 2-liter bottle of soda. So, my friends, this is the future of drone technology, and now we can all embrace it and support it. Hey, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is, I'm sure, a very happy and smiling Hardwood Forrest. Connor, good evening, Forrest.
Quick, Joshua, to the Domicopter.
That's my kind of superhero right there. Now, didn't they have, like, the Noid? Wasn't that Domino's?
It was. Noid?
Now it's the Domicopter. The Noid drives the Domicopter. I mean, can you get behind this idea, Forrest?
I can. I mean, it's a great idea.
But it's just a matter of time before it just chops somebody's head off. You know that.
But, you know, or someone intercepts the Domicopter. It's like, hey, I know the Domicopter's going to be coming from this direction. I'm going to sit there with some kind of, like, ground-to-air, like, missile or something and, like, knock me Domicopter down and get me a free pizza and a Coke.
Yes, you'll have a whole, like, clubs, high school computer hacker clubs, devoted to sitting out there and hacking into the signals to fly the Domicopter down and steal the pizza. Hey, you know, it just shows we really are living in the year 2013. You know, it's all just a big, crazy blur. But I'm a lucky man. I love me some good pizza, and we even have some great pizza down here in Puerto Rico, where I'm still broadcasting from. Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, I believe you're quite a pizza fan yourself, aren't you?
Oh, I love me some pizza.
Yeah, yeah. And so how do you feel about the drones delivering pizza to your door?
I'm thinking I'm with Forrest on this. I am a really great shot. I'm thinking about shooting me down a drone, getting me a free pizza and a Coke. Yeah. I like this idea.
Know, I tell you what, you guys, I'm sure, know that something like 2005, I believe it was, I worked on this big TV pilot for the Discovery Channel called X-Ops. And it was there's a whole big crazy story about how we went to Roswell and how this wild stuff happened. But then the conspiratorial stuff began to manifest. But the reason I bring this up is that we had a lot of great gadgets and fantastic cameras to shoot this pilot with. We had a big, big budget. And they hired a guy from Texas who, at that time, and probably still is, the best pilot of small remote-controlled helicopters that can carry cameras around and get these big sweeping shots. And when I buy small, though, now, I would say probably you're talking about like a 5-foot-long, maybe 6-foot-long helicopter, but a very sturdy helicopter because, you know, it's carrying a heavy camera. And mind you, just since 2005, I mean, cameras have gotten incredibly light. I mean, the technology has just exponentially improved in making these things lightweight. But anyhow, we got into this huge airplane hangar, and they decided they wanted to get these kind of, as they call them, hero shots, where each one of the cast members had his or her sort of moment in the spotlight where you're standing there in some pose, and they get this, like, sweeping camera shot all around you. And they decided to enlist the helicopter to get this shot. So the guy who has the helicopter, he comes over, and it was my turn, and he came up and he said, "Look, I'm going to be honest with you." He says, "I've never had a problem using this thing. But, you know, it's powered by a Briggs & Stratton engine." And he said, "You know, I've got to be very, very particular about how I adjust things and move the control stick." And he said, "When I'm flying this thing around you, don't move because it will kill you." Okay. "It will cut your head off." And the guy's being dead serious. And so then the director's like, "Okay, Josh, go get him, Tiger." I'm like, "Oh, geez." So talk about pressure. So you're standing there in this kind of like dumb looking pose, and this thing is, you know, flying maybe like a foot and a half away, just going in circles. And I've never forgotten how terrifying it was to think that if this guy sneezes or if I sneeze or something, you know, if there's an earthquake, to go down the checklist of things that could go wrong, I'm dead. And I just can't imagine that you could bring, like, the drone down close enough. Now, maybe you could just lower the pizza or something like that, but I could just foresee horrific violence, you know, humans being blended to death by the domino pizza copter. So that would be my only problem with it. Okay. Here's another pizza story. Here's from Newport Beach, California. They say an arraignment was continued there for a deputy who was accused of pepper spraying a teenager's pizza during a traffic stop. Isn't that weird?
What?
Yeah. They say that this 19-year-old man was pulled over by one police officer, and then a second police officer showed up, and the second officer spotted the pizza on the back seat of the teen's car, and the teenager believes that this vindictive police officer pepper sprayed his pizza because the kid then, or the 19-year-old, he took the pizza home, shared it with four friends, and all of them were instantly inflamed and sick and had all the symptoms of being pepper sprayed.
Oh, so, I think I'd be suing me some police officers.
That sounds like a wonderful prank, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a good one. We would have done that one back in the day, huh, Forrest?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hey, let me tell you what we're going to talk about tonight. We haven't had a new show for a couple weeks, so we're behind on some wild news. The main reason that we're behind a couple weeks is that I've been out in the field on some expeditions down here in Puerto Rico in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, and I was not the only one, because investigator Shelley Wright, who came down here last April to receive her Bermuda Triangle investigator certification, is now an advanced Bermuda Triangle investigator, because she did the East Coast before, and Shelley, you came down here and did the West Coast along with Patricia Demented Patty, and Andrea Carter, the Canadian, and we ran around this part of the island. We went to Arecibo, where you have the largest radio satellite dish on planet Earth, Earth's telephone to the cosmos. We went into one of the largest cave systems in the world, the Kamui Caves. You got to swim in the Bio Bay. A lot of crazy stuff happened, and I think we owe everybody a little update on that later in the show. What do you think, Shelley?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you have fun down here in the Isle of Enchantment?
I had an excellent time, and little did I know that August is the hottest month of the year in Puerto Rico.
And yet, still, it's only like 90 degrees, so it gets a lot hotter than that in even North Carolina.
Humidity.
Yeah, it is very humid. But it was great.
One
thing also that's odd about this place is that, you know, in April, you got to see the rainforest, but here on the West Coast, you have the dry forest, where you have the cacti and that kind of thing, and it's just odd how you find such localized pockets of weather here. We're gonna tell everybody a little bit about that, and also I'm gonna break some news that I'm just sure the U.S. military is going to love. I'm quite the idiot for pushing my luck. But I do have some information about this secret military base that you've heard me talk about. And I'm going to sort of reveal it here on the radio tonight. And then, trust me, I don't think I'm going too far. I think that this is just something that I think it's something we deserve to know about. So let's hope this is not my last broadcast. We'll see. But we have a lot of crazy stuff to get into, a whole wealth of it. But that's what we do on this program. We talk about the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird, keeping you company every weekend. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
I had a lot to love, but it's all been bad. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. My fishing pole's broke, the creek is full of sand. My woman run away with another man. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. A distant uncle passed away and left me quite a batch. And I was living high until the fatal day. A lawyer proved I was
have only hatched everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
You know, I've been very fortunate to have many, many friends throughout my life, and they say you can count your blessings by the number of your friends. The sad part is that sometimes you have to say goodbye, because nothing ever lasts forever, least of which these human lives, and we've lost another one. He was a great friend to me, to us, and to this show. Years ago, I was lucky to meet Linda and Paul Kladowski of Charleston, South Carolina, and their daughter Toni and her fiancé Dakota. We all became immediate friends and have easily remained so. Paul was a tall, scraggly fellow with a friendly, goofy grin, so we all called him Shag. But recently, while I was in the field on an expedition along with my wife Lauren and Shelley Wright and others who knew Shag, we received one of those tragic calls that he had unexpectedly passed away in the night. He was only in his 50s, and apparently he laid down to sleep on his couch and just never woke up, died of natural causes. And, you know, it's customary to try to only say good things about people after they die, but in this case, I can honestly say that every single experience I had with Shag was warm and fun. We ghost hunted together. He helped me immensely with the program I did in Charleston. He was always a popular, generous hand at events, parties, dinners, whatever was going on. And I can tell you that everyone genuinely loved the guy. In fact, I was really looking forward to seeing him again when I returned to the States next month. He was an avid fan of this show, Speaking of Strange. He was frequently in the chat room and always contributing insightful, funny stuff. I consider him one of the integral parts of this show's true community. But you know, we always talk about the great mysteries here. And Shag was a student of mine who even graduated from my paranormal investigator class last year. And now he has taken that next step into the beyond. And I must tell you, with his intelligence and technical prowess, he might just be the one to come back from the other side and help us continue our research. But regardless, the longer I live, the more I tend to believe that, as Billy Joel says, only the good die young. Our hearts go out to Linda, Toni, Dakota, and everyone else who is in pain. But it brings me relief to know he died in peace, in his home, with dignity, and that is some kind of a reward. So thanks for the life you live, Shag. God bless your soul. Leave the light on. The rest of us will see you soon enough, my friend. And you know, whenever I start thinking about life and death and how fleeting this whole experience is, it makes me wonder even more about the choices that we make and how much do we want to see in our lives. And I was thinking about Shag's death, and I was reading news stories, and I saw this story, which is an update on these people who are applying to go on a one-way trip to Mars. And do you know that more than 100,000 people have signed up to do this?
Wow.
Now, I remember last time when we were talking about how they really wanted married couples. Now, I think they're just sort of loosening it up a little bit. Married couples might crash the ship. You know, they get into a fight over something. 100,000 people. They say you only have to be 18 or older to apply. And it's cheap to apply for an American, and they say, because it varies from country to country, you can apply for just $38. That's just to apply. But what they're going to do here is select a small group of people. The astronauts will undergo a required 8-year training in a secluded location, and they're going to learn how to repair habitat structures, grow vegetables in confined spaces, and address routine and serious medical issues such as dental upkeep, muscle tears, bone fractures. And they say that once you get there, of course, well, then the capsule itself is going to be used in a number of ways to become part of the habitat. They're going to have solar panels, and they're going to be filtering water from the Martian soil. They're going to make hydrogen and oxygen from the water so they can breathe the oxygen and use the hydrogen. I mean, they've got this whole thing figured out here. But they say to terraform the entire planet, it's going to take hundreds and hundreds of years. So these are true explorers, true pioneers who want to say, goodbye, everybody. Everybody I know, goodbye to this world, goodbye to this life, but I'm going to die on Mars. And, you know, Forrest, how do you feel about knowing that you might be able to be one of the few people to ever see, I mean, to live on another planet? I mean, would you be willing to give up what you have here to have that experience?
I mean, I'm almost too old because you think another 8 years worth of training. And then what's the journey take, a year to get to Mars?
Well, I think it might be longer than that.
Well, and by the time all the training's done, by the time you get there, I don't know how useful someone like our age would be.
Well, yeah, all they say is 18 or older to apply.
Right, so. I mean, but I'd say 18 or older or 30 and below.
On the other hand, I mean, I understand from a pragmatic point of view what you're saying, but I also think that maybe as you get older and you become more aware of your own mortality, then the idea of leaving all this behind and having that experience before you die doesn't seem as scary.
Well, yeah, I see where you're coming from there, too. I mean, if you have nothing, I mean, they're sure there's hundreds of thousands of people, obviously, on this earth that have nothing to live for on this earth. That so what the heck not? Let's go exploring.
And what if they say, okay, here you are. You are one of 10 people. Meet the other 9 people you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And you look at them, you're like, oh, geez, really?
That guy, really?
These ugly women? This is as good as it's going to get? Yeah, it's just like, a part of me would almost want to do it, though. I mean, that's that insane pioneering
that's
drive.
That's sort of Star Trek mentality. Going where no man has gone before.
Exactly. Shelley Wright, how do you feel about it?
No way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't want to.
Well, think about it. Like, you wouldn't have any bills. Everything would be paid for you.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't have a house payment.
You wouldn't have anything. You'd have to build it. And then, once you get tired of all the people you're with or it's not like you can say, hey, I'm going to go to Puerto Rico and go lay on the beach or something. Yeah. No, I'm not.
Or you could go up there and once you get there, you could kill everybody else and say, I am the Emperor of Mars.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
And then you don't have any food supply coming in because there's no one to help you grow food.
Right. Right, and something happens to you, there's no one to help you if, you know, you hurt yourself. Yeah, I do not have that pioneering spirit.
Well, yeah, I definitely see a setup for a good movie there.
Oh, yeah.
You always see a setup for a good movie.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, it's like I probably just... The trip up there would be so claustrophobic and uncomfortable. And, I mean, to me, the only good thing about it is that if things go wrong, you can kill yourself very quickly. You know, all you have to do is open the door and it's over.
I don't know. The Martian atmosphere, I mean, it might take a couple minutes.
Well, I mean on the way there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, on the way there. Once you get there, I mean, isn't it very hot or something on Mars? Isn't it very, you know,
I think it's warmer than what we're used to here because there's little to no atmosphere on Mars, so everything just gets right through.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, guys, we're coming up on another break. When we come back, obviously, it's getting close to Puppy Fest time here, about a month and a half out. And so I was going to talk a little about how things are going with Puppy Fest, and then I see this story from one of our favorite states that I'll tell you about. And the headline is, I'll just tell you this. Here's one part of the headline. Shoves puppies down his pants. What? I'll explain when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange.
Flight of fancy on a windswept field, standing alone, my senses.
Puerto Rico's extraterrestrial highway. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. And this is Speaking of Strange. Don't forget, you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show, more updates on news and topics discussed, and links to some fantastic things you need to see, like info on the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours designed by me. Trolley tours, walking tours, pub crawls, vampire and occult tours, all of it's there. It's all booming, especially now that we are we're steamrolling toward the Halloween season. Once you get into late August, then, you know, September, October, the fall hits and everything starts to explode in that realm. So go to speakingofstrange.com or visit hauntedasheville.com. But it's a little bit weird for me because I've produced a lot of big events over the years. And Forrest, you know just how huge some of them have been, like the ones at the Grove Park Inn.
Right.
Big, big events. And yet, I have never tried to produce an event like the one that's coming up next month, the Puppy Fest, at Asheville's U.S. Cellular Center. And, in fact, shortly we're going to be putting out our first press release. Here's kind of a rough draft of the press release. This hasn't been sent out yet, but I'm just going to read it and let all of you get a little a first glance. Puppy Fest, a huge contest called American Idol with Paws. will debut at the U.S. Cellular Center in Asheville, North Carolina on Saturday, September 28, 2013, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. It was created by Asheville radio TV personality Joshua P. Warren, who will produce the event with J.R. Yarnell of the Asheville Tattoo Fest. Quote, "This is the ultimate celebration in search of tomorrow's star puppy," says Warren, who has appeared on Animal Planet and published the popular book Pet Ghosts. Quote, "We are shooting a major TV pilot as an international panel of judges takes cuddly puppies through five categories like friendliness, feistiness, and personality. The winning puppy will appear on packages of Green Earth pet food, and the owner will receive a cash prize and trophy," end quote. Warren got the idea for Puppy Fest after footage he shot of his sister's puppy appeared on MTV. Quote, "I wondered what gave this puppy such star quality," he mused. "And then lightning struck. I realized the quest for an ultimate celebrity puppy would be fun for everyone. My dog is a rescue, so it's also a wonderful way to raise money for pet care and adoption. We plan to take this event around the country, and pet-loving Asheville was the perfect place to begin," end quote. Puppy Fest is a one-day event filled with pet-oriented activities. Anyone can bring a puppy up to 8 months old to enter into the contest, and the crowd that attends will get a chance to play with all the puppies and give input. Admission is $10 for adults and $5 for children 12 and under. The event is sponsored by the Asheville Humane Society, Animal Compassion Network, and Brother Wolf Animal Rescue. A portion of the proceeds go to these and similar charities. For more info, see puppyfest.com. Pretty good press release, guys?
Yeah,
I know, because you've been talking about, I mean, just that brought up memories. You've been talking about Puppy Fest for years, but you just haven't found the right venue and time to do it. But, like, things just sort of seem to have come together for this, for Puppy Fest here.
Well, you know, it's amazing. At first, people years ago heard me talking about Puppy Fest, and they were like, oh, come on, you know, this, what a silly idea. And now, look at this. We're sponsored by all these big organizations. We're at the U.S. Cellular Center. Here are some of our vendors so far. We have Pet Supplies Plus, The Soapy Dog, Patton Avenue Pets, the Charlotte Street Animal Hospital, Pet Gazette, of course, Green Earth Pet Food, many, many more. These vendors are coming there. We've got 12,000 square feet there. And, of course, if any of you listening, if you have a business and you want to have a table or a booth set up, it's $99. And you get promoted on radio, TV, our website, and in print. It's just, you know, it's going to be crazy. We're going to have a huge, big crowd, a lot of fun stuff going on. And if you have a puppy and you want to bring that puppy to the event, please, please do contact us. Let us know. Send us a picture because we might want to use you in our TV pilot. But all the info is at puppyfest.com. So here I am talking puppy, and I see this story from Orlando, Florida, and the headline is, "Thief Shoves Puppies Down His Pants at Orlando Store." Are you just... What is that? Is that a puppy in your pants, or are you just happy to... Oh, my God, it's a puppy! Police are looking for a man who stole two puppies from an Orlando store. It happened around 6:45 p.m. at the Puppy Stop. Surveillance video captures him taking an $800 pug from its crib and shoving it in his pants. And then he walks out to his car, goes back, does the same thing with a $750 miniature Dachshund. Let me pause here for a second. Did you guys realize that some puppies are that expensive?
No.
And that is not uncommon. Did you know that, Forrest?
No.
Yeah. If you go into a pet store and you start looking around for, like, full-breed little puppies in their prime, yeah, you're talking... big money, you know. I mean, you could do $5,000 all day long on a little puppy. And so you can see that's why our Puppy Fest is a Rolls Royce event, right? So, no, actually, that's why my dogs have been rescued. You can't pay that kind of money all the time.
Well, you know, rescue dogs need love as just as much, if not more, than these purebred whatevers.
Well, you know, our little dog, Boo, we got her from Brother Wolf, and she is a little Chihuahua terrier mix. And when we got her, immediately she had the sweetest disposition, but they said she has heartworms. And you can only adopt her if you will go through this, like, six-month process, which is a very, very particular process to get rid of these things, you know, and it's very easy for a dog to die. And we especially Lauren, accepted that responsibility. So we took her in, and Brother Wolf paid for the treatment, and they hooked us up with a veterinarian, and now Boo lives in Puerto Rico, and she's the happiest little dog. And it's crazy to think this little dog came from somewhere out in the mountains, in the backwoods of western North Carolina, somehow ended up in a pound in some other county, just days away from being killed in the pound, from being put down, which is hard to believe. And then somebody from Brother Wolf, at the last minute, picked her out, rescued her, took her to Brother Wolf. We go into Brother Wolf, and we get her, but then we see she has heartworms. And now this dog has defied the odds time and time again to live on a tropical island here in the Bermuda Triangle. See, you should make a movie about the story of Boo the dog.
Another movie I've been used to Warren sees.
Yeah, it's like the Benji. So anyway, this guy here, he says... the guy who owns the store says the thief walked in with what appeared to be a decent family, even had a toddler, and they used a kid to steal the dog. Anyway, the guy's gone, and the dogs are gone. And so I read that, and I'm thinking, well, you know, it's probably not that uncommon that people go in and steal puppies like that. But then I see this next story, and... this is from Washington State, and this is the opposite end of the spectrum. This is about a man who blew up a dog with homemade explosives.
What?
Yeah. It says here the guy was able to create some type of an explosive device similar to a stick of dynamite. And he somehow inserted this into the dog and blew it up. And it says here that his girlfriend, he believes, had somehow caused satanic spirits to possess the unfortunate dog, and that he thought it needed to be exploded in preparation for the rapture.
You know, someone needs to stick some explosives and put him in this guy and blow him up.
Yeah, I'm for shoving dynamite up his ass.
What does that sound like when a dog explodes?
Oh.
We're going to take a break when we come back. I got a story here that a lot of people are angry about. I'm going to touch on it because I don't want to make people too angry on a show on a Saturday night. It's about the government. But now I have another story maybe I can get to here. From our favorite state, Clearwater, Florida, and that is a story about fishing for a new type of species. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. You only come a town about twice a year.
I wish I lived in the golden age, giving it all from the Broadway stage. Hang with the rats and smoke cigars, have a break with drinking, fun.
minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, well, we're going to tell you about our recent trip to the Arecibo Observatory. What is it actually like to travel to this kind of mysterious site, which is used as Earth's telephone to the cosmos, where they try to communicate with aliens? What kind of odd stuff happens when you go there? And also the Kamui Caverns, one of the largest cave systems in the world, which gives you some insight into maybe whether or not UFOs and USOs are traveling in and out of this island called Puerto Rico in the Bermuda Triangle. We're going to talk about the WOW signal, which was captured 36 years ago. All kinds of interesting stuff to update you on, because I believe, I think that this is one of my last broadcasts from down here for a while, because I think we may do one more broadcast where I'll be here in the Bermuda Triangle, and then which will be next week. And then after that, I'm going to have to take another little break while I transition back up to Asheville, and we get into the fall activities, festivities, and Puppy Fest, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's really weird when you start looking into the way the government sort of treats the rights of the private citizens in this day and age of such vast technology, and you start looking at some of those very basic rights that were established in the 1700s for us and how that they apply. And of course, we all know that the Constitution says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. And that means you have the right to get together peacefully and protest something. But apparently, according to the Huffington Post, a new bill has been signed by the president, and it's called H.R. 347. It passed unanimously in the Senate and 388-3 in the House. That's nearly every single lawmaker. And this bill says that Americans who are involved in just about any type of political protest or other type of protest can be charged and arrested if a member of the Secret Service, quote, is or will be temporarily visiting, end quote. So that means if the government wants to shut down a protest, all they have to do is just send a Secret Service officer down there somewhere to scratch his behind or whatever, and then they can start putting people in jail for a year or more. And the funny thing is, he doesn't even have to be there. It's if he will be there. And a lot of people are flipping out over this. You see the problem here, right, Forrest?
Yes.
and everybody, all the lawmakers agreed to this. So this gives them the ability to go in and stamp out any type of protest, apparently. And but who heard about it until it was signed, right?
So H.R. 347. The right to assemble is being trampled on?
Sounds like it's big time. It sounds like it's more or less gone. Yeah, that all they have to do is stick a guy on an airplane and fly him down, and you have no rights anymore to peacefully assemble.
Okay.
Yeah, and here is a story from Clearwater, Florida. Of course, it's the summertime. A lot of people are enjoying the outdoors. A lot of people are fishing. And if you go to Clearwater, Florida, however, you can fish for a whole new type of creature. They say that a pair of incarcerated anglers there had to find a line they could cast six stories down. Now, let me rephrase this for you. A couple of guys are incarcerated. That means they're in jail. And they found the line that they could lower six stories down and nicely hook it onto a big bag of marijuana that they were reeling up into the jail. The problem is the sheriff's department realized what was happening when it was about halfway up. And so they were able to go out and take custody of the individual who was assisting them from the ground and take possession of the marijuana that was worth thousands of dollars, as well as a few other goodies. So fishing for marijuana, a whole new type of sport in Florida. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, yes, we'll tell you about visiting Arecibo, the Kamui Caverns, the Bio Bay. I've got some sort of breaking information for you about a secret U.S. Air Force base. And we're also going to talk about the WOW signal. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's a show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange. 13 months of baby.